Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. My last day in Indianapolis for the NFL Combine, leaving tomorrow, which, as a programming note, should let you know, no Packers Daily tomorrow. So this is our final session here this week. And just as I'm about to leave, just as things are settling down from the Gutekunst availability, ready to just relax, maybe have some shrimp cocktail tonight at St. Elmo's, the NFLPA grades were sent to me, specifically the Packers grades. As some of you may be aware, over the last few years, the NFLPA has conducted a survey of its players, grading each franchise from within by the players themselves. This past offseason, or the past couple months, the NFL sued in court to stop the practice of publishing these because essentially Woody Johnson has a fragile ego. The NFL trying to point out that it was against the CBA, saying that you can't publish disparaging remarks about the teams, etc., whatever. Everybody knew, and I mean everybody, knew that they would continue to produce these grades and then disseminate it to their membership, which is about 2,000 strong, and that, yeah, probably they'll end up getting leaked. It's exactly what happened today. I had someone send them to me for the Packers. I know Kaylin Kaler for ESPN got her hands on the entirety of the grades, and she put up a piece there at ESPN. Obviously, there is a grain of salt to be taken here with everything that I'm about to say, because, you know, the process of collecting the grades, the gradation between teams when you're talking about, oh, this ranks at a certain spot among the 32 teams. Well, there can be, you know, say 22 teams ranked up here, maybe a couple teams here, and then like the dead last, I think the Steelers got an F minus, if that's possible. Let's say they're down here. So the Packers are hovering around here. They dropped, you know, quite a bit, the biggest drop of any team this season. But still really good, strong stuff. Third overall when it comes to the locker room, comparative to their peers. And I do think it's kind of funny when you look at the Packers in general, as far as, the youngest team in the league, third year in a row, and populated by a lot of guys who don't know anything else. We have a history of watching Packers leave and go to other teams and other facilities and other situations, and then at the end of their career, talk about how great they had it while they were in Green Bay, unbeknownst to them at the time. So that, again, just a grain of salt here. But I did want to read one of the sections that was sent to me, put it up on the screen here for you guys. Just quoting from the report, the Green Bay Packers fell 14 spots to 21st overall in this year's report card, the steepest year-over-year decline of any team. The drop is driven largely by the decline in ratings for the training room and training staff, which now rank in the bottom third of the league. Players report a lack of space and outdated recovery equipment, along with a lack of communication and trust in the training room. These issues are a top priority players identify to be addressed. Players report that the team does not provide game day childcare, as most teams do, contributing to their bottom third ranking for treatment of families. The team's nutrition program similarly ranks near the bottom, with players wanting improved nutrition plans and more nutritious food options to better support these plans. Head coach Matt LaFleur dropped a full letter grade this season and ranks second to last in the league in respect for players. Obviously, that last bit, not great. Matt LaFleur's got some work to do. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know exactly what that means, but it certainly would suggest that there's some erosion in confidence and or the idea that there is an open door for players to approach LaFleur, and the give and take of ideas is there. Ultimately, he's the coach. What he says goes, no doubt about it. But dropping a full letter grade, falling as far as he has league-wide when it comes to respect from his players, given to his players, it's something that you got to think is going to be a conversation inside 1265 Lombardi. As for the training room and the stuff there, what's interesting to note is that the Packers are literally, as we speak, overhauling their training room, much like they did when they gave the locker room a major facelift, which ended up, like I said, with the Packers ranked third in the league as far as locker room facilities. So hopefully their work on their training facility, their training room, and all the work that goes around that will result in, you know, a shooting up of the ranks, so to speak, next year during the NFLPA's grading, which I'm sure will be leaked once again. So all of that to say, interesting times for Ed Policy to take over and have some things to address internally. Though it does seem like work is being done in the right direction to address these things, the childcare thing really kind of blows my mind. Of all the things, and I know online people were having fun with the LaFleur thing, and that's fine, have at it. I think ultimately that is a small window into a complex and ultimately completely unknowable dynamic. But that's not going to stop Twitter from having a good time, so have at it. But the childcare thing, that feels pretty black and white. I understand that maybe it's a bit of an expense and or a logistical issue as far as there's probably a lot to overcome there. But again, A, it's pretty standard around the league. And B, you want to make your facility and your program a top flight destination, whether you're drafting someone into it or you're pitching it to a free agent. You got to juggle childcare is not the signal you want to send out. And spare me anybody going, well, I don't get childcare at my job. People aren't tuning in by the millions to, and generating billions of dollars of revenue when they're watching you at your job, if they are at all. Like, give these guys childcare. That is, that, and this, the thing that blows my mind is that was on last year's report, was the dissatisfaction with a lack of childcare. You've had a year and you couldn't fix that? That is seems like such an easy win to me, and to completely ignore it just kind of blows my mind. But that's me. We'll see what happens under the purview of one Mr. Ed Policy here, now that he is fully in charge and in charge of making sure that these things are heard, these voices are heard from the players, and improvements are made. All of this to say, all of this said, you know, don't get too wrapped up in this. I wouldn't put too much merit in, oh, things are falling apart. I've already had a Bears fan over here making fun of me for it. I mean, the Miami Dolphins have come in first a number of years in the NFLPA grades. How they doing as a franchise when it comes to wins and losses and playoff appearances and general success with the game of football? You know, it is certainly important. It is certainly an aspect that needs to be addressed uniformly almost, but don't try to make it into, or don't try to paint it as some, you know, albatross or harbinger of doom for the franchise and program, because that is certainly not the case. How y'all doing? Good to see everyone mixing it up in the comments section. We got people lined up to chat. Before we get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our good friends over at ThetaCare. When it comes to football, it's all about action, and sometimes injuries happen. Whether it's a sprain, strain, or something more serious, ThetaCare Orthopedic Care is here to help you recover like a pro. Their team offers expert care for bones, joints, and muscles, so you can get back to doing what you love, on the field or in the stands. Don't let pain sideline you. ThetaCare, proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, what's on your mind? What we got? What we got here, folks? We got FMCH. How you doing, man? With special teams coordinator still up in the air and some potentials in the Rich Bisaccia tree, today's long-distance dedication to Matt LaFleur is caught in my shadow by the wonder stuff. I love this chat. That is well said. Matt LaFleur, keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars. That's so good. Joe, what's up, man? Packers' chances of being on Hard Knocks now go up. They can be compelled by the league to appear this year. How fun would that be? I mean, they are one of, I believe, 16 teams that could potentially land Hard Knocks this summer. I know Matt LaFleur has stated more than one occasion that he's not a fan of that idea. Oh, this would be a perfect time. Oh, my God, that would be fun. I don't think it's actually going to happen, but, man, would that be a good time. Andrew, what's going on? How are you? Hi, Aaron. There was talk that the Combine would eventually rotate to other cities. Have you heard if this is still a possibility, or will it be staying in Indy? Excellent question. It'll be in Indy for the time being. I know they just signed a deal, I believe, for the next 2 years after this kind of year was an extension of a one-year extension from a couple years ago. They have signed on to have this event in Indy for two more years. But I do think it's telling, and I have heard rumblings, you know, they're not signing anything long-term. And I think they are eventually going to put it on the road, kind of like the draft. I don't think that's imminent. I don't think that's even like going to happen in the next probably 5 years. But eventually, it does feel like it's a foregone conclusion. But as of right now, it will be in Indy for the next couple years at the very least. We'll see if it moves around at all after that. That's a fine question. What's the deal with negativity with LaFleur? Well, the problem is you have to ask the players. And when the players have been asked with microphones in their faces, they have sung his praises. But it sure feels like when you read that sentence at the end of that kind of summation of the grades, that, yeah, maybe he's possibly lost a little something there in the locker room that he's going to have to work to get back. And again, I don't want to sit here and say it's some catastrophe. I do think it's something he's going to get asked about the next time he does appear in front of the media, which I believe will be the owners' meetings in a couple weeks, in about a month or so. Got to think he's going to be thinking long and hard about his answer to that question. But as far as like, what's the deal with the negativity, man, you'd have to ask the players themselves. I'm not privy to those conversations, not privy to the grades, so I can't really give you an answer on that one. Donnie, how you doing, man? What do you think is more likely, Gary contract restructure or does he get cut? Good question. I honestly think the restructure route is probably the most likely outcome, but it's for sure not a given. I think they will talk to Rashawn's people. They're probably talking to them right now as we speak this week here in Indy. I have to think they're going to approach him about that. I think it's a 50-50 as to whether Rashawn wants to play ball there, because I do think he'd make some real good money on the open market if he is a cap casualty. And given, or depending on what the Packers approach with, he might mull over the idea of, you know, I don't want to play ball at all and just cut me, you know, that's a possibility, but I do think they'll find a way forward with a restructure for both parties to be satisfied. And he'll probably be back in 2026. That's just my guess, but, again, not saying a right out cut is impossible. It's certainly on the table. Rai, how you doing, man? All these cornerback issues has me nostalgic for prime 2019-2020 Jair. His injury from the tackle versus the Steelers in 21 was a sliding doors moment for the Packers in a few ways. You could not be more correct. I completely agree. And it's wild to think that after Brian took Jair, right, as his first ever draft pick, he hasn't addressed corner with a premium pick since. Like, that's kind of wild to me, but it does suck to see the very apparent change that occurred after that injury in his style of play, his productivity, everything, right? Because prior to that injury, he was such a demon on defense, the way he really threw himself in there physically. I mean, famously, that great play in Minnesota, throwing a wide receiver into another wide receiver in that stacked bunch. That's the kind of play you saw from him all the time until that injury. So, yeah, it was certainly a very big kind of moment, not only in his career, but for the Packers secondary in general, as you suggest. And they just have never really recovered from that. Now, I got to suspect this draft is, you know, kind of a flashpoint for Gutekunst to start adding some more talent to that room. And he has talked about, and we heard on Tuesday, you know, secondary being a room that needs more competition. I read that as cornerback, and I got to think I'm going to be very surprised if they get out of this draft without at least one cornerback, if not two, and a very decent possibility that that's on day two. So that's certainly something that you can't continue to ignore. The man 5705, how you doing? If you could super boost one player to Hall of Fame performance level, who would it be? I say Sorrell. Ooh, so I have a magic power. Yeah, Sorrell has such a promising start, right? I mean, the tape is so fun to watch, and it doesn't look like anything's too big for him. I could pick one guy, though. I mean, I'll take Sorrell. I don't know, man. I'd probably go with, like, whoever they're going to put at center. Like, if there's a draft pick or Jacob Monk, or, you know, maybe it's re-signing Sean Ryan. Whoever that is, give me that superpower to make sure he's Hall of Fame talent there in front of Jordan Love. Let's go down that road. William James, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Appreciate you. Have you ever had someone say something at the combine, training camp, etc., that you weren't supposed to hear that came true? Player movement or .. that came true? that I wasn't supposed to hear? Can't say that I have. Can't say that I've ever come across a situation where there were some loose lips, and I, you know, heard talk about any subject that I wasn't supposed to. And these guys are really well trained at this point. Even late at night, I saw a buddy out last night who used to work for the Packers, now works for another team. And, you know, I'm making conversation. I haven't seen him in a while. It's a great time, whatever. But even the slightest little kind of question of what he's working on now, just nothing, right? It's, you know, agents want to get stuff out there, but most of the personnel people are very well trained as far as, yeah, I'm not saying a word about what I'm doing. I can't say that I've ever come across that situation. Now, I'm not saying that hasn't happened. I'm not saying others haven't, but can't say that I have. What else we got here, folks? Funko, what's going on here? I'm sick of this whole Ben Johnson thing. He's a giant cornball. Never heard of any of this from Packers players, coaches. Yeah, but look, it's working for him. That first year, he certainly announced his presence with authority, not only as a Chicago Bear head coach, but as a heel for the Packers organization. And they won a playoff game. He gets to crow. He gets to talk shit. That's the way it works. Now, to your other point, you're right. The Packers don't pay attention like that. They want to win, and they're not concerned with, let's say, petty rivalries, even though it is the oldest, most historic, storied rivalry in the league. I don't mind either approach. I'm with you, though. I wish the Packers would maybe lean into it a little bit more. It's always been one of my kind of, maybe not misgivings, but it's something I remember when Matt was first hired. And, you know, his line has always been, it's an important game, but it's because it's an NFC North game. It's like, no. It's the fucking Bears, you know? I always wanted him to lean into it more. McCarthy did a little bit, and I always thought that was fun. But it's just not Matt's style, and I don't want him to do anything that isn't organic to him. And this sure feels organic to Ben Johnson. It may cornball or no, it's working for him. And again, he has the backing of ownership, so of course he's going to lean into it. They're loving it. They've been owned by the Packers for so long. They are just covering themselves in glory, thinking about how their head coach is yelling, fuck the Packers, after a playoff win. You know what I mean? Like, this is their heaven. Now, the Packers have higher goals, right? The Packers are focused on winning a championship, and the Bears rising and falling has little to do with that. Now, you've got to beat the Bears. You've got to win the division. And if Romeo Doubs falls on that fucking onside kick, not only do they win the division, but they're hosting a playoff game. Maybe a very different outcome in this regard, but that's all a bunch of ifs, whens, and maybes. That don't mean a whole hell of a lot. And right now, Bears have the crown. They get to talk shit, including their coach. Pretty straightforward in my world. Menace, yeah, I've seen a lot of this today. Anthony Richardson was granted permission to find a trade. The next Malik? I would tend to doubt it. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Nagler's never right, so it's probably going to happen. But I don't see them going that route, mostly because he's entering the last year of his rookie deal. When they traded for Malik, don't forget, he had 2 years left, and now he's in free agency, obviously, and they use those 2 years to great effect. I can't imagine giving up a draft pick, an asset there, for a guy who you're only going to have under contract for 1 year, in a year where you need as much cheap labor that's going to help produce on the field as possible. I don't see it, but God knows I've been surprised before. And I do think he is a very intriguing player for all his faults, which are very, you know, evident. Apparently we've all watched him play in the NFL now. But I'm down with the idea of trying to like utilize those talents in the Packers offense. Like, I think that could be a very interesting outcome. But again, I would be surprised if they went that route. Oh man, this is such a great idea. Any chance you could ever get Mike Holmgren on Packer transplants? You know, we've talked about it, never really made the ask. I know he was doing some media for a while. I know he was doing like the color analyst stuff for Westwood One Radio. But I haven't seen him in the media a whole lot as of late. I don't know that he's completely stop doing it or what have you. But yeah, man, I'd love to get Holmgren on transplants or anything on Cheesehead TV. Fun fact, we tried and failed to get Mike McCarthy on a watch party this year. How fun would that have been? Unfortunately, it didn't happen, and now obviously he's otherwise engaged, so we missed our window. But yeah, we'll keep asking. We'll see what happens. Newt, what's up, man? Everybody, make sure you're following Newt's work here on the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel. Great stuff almost every day. His latest was awesome. So many different options seemingly going to be available there at Pick 52. That's the latest video. Make sure you check that out here on the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel. Newt says, excited for the combine to start rolling in with measurables and data. See, you're the one. I'm kidding. Newt, this is your time to shine, no doubt. I was just actually joking with a friend of mine saying, like, this first part of the week, I'm all about it. It's all the pro stuff. We hear from the GMs, like, the kind of personnel folks are just kind of rolling into town. But now all the, you know, workouts begin and the measurements start getting thrown around. I've already seen more short arm discourse than I ever need in my life. So Godspeed. Have a great time. Soak it all in. I'll be at the bar. It's going to be a good time. E4, what's going on, man? Seems like you would want Happy Campers childcare thing. I'm with you, man. That's what I mean. Feels like such an easy win. And again, I understand it's not as simple as snap your fingers and it happens, right? Like, you got to do the work. But it feels like such an easy lift and such an obvious thing, especially when it's something that is considered standard in most of the rest of the NFL. Yeah, man, that is a serious miss in my book. GB Faithful, what's going on, man? Packers need to invest in their guys behind the scenes. Not sure who you're referencing there, but for the most part, they do. I do think, again, they could maybe create a little bit more as far as support. But, yeah, for the most part, I think most of those folks are well compensated and doing a good job. Let's say that. Mr. Heebs. Have the Lions come back to Earth? Oh, wait. We still have the Vikings. Man, look. Lions are still a talented team. They're going to be a problem in the North. And obviously the Bears are the reigning champs. They're going to be an issue. The Vikings are going to be so interesting only because what do they do at quarterback? You know, that is such a monster question for them this year. They roll it back with, they give McCarthy another year. That's hard to believe after everything we saw last season, but it's not like they don't have talent. You know, they got Flores to stay on defense. That defense is going to be a major problem yet again. So it's a tough division, man. Tough division, no question about it. Ah, yes, I mean, daycare, equipment, etc. Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And like I said, they are literally, as we speak, at Lambeau Field, working on improving all the workout facilities, essentially. So including rest recovery, all of that. So it is not, you know, it's not like this has fallen on deaf ears, and it's not like there aren't actionable things that the Packers are ignoring. They're doing the work, other than the childcare thing, which again is just weird to me. how long do we have Jordan Love under contract? I want to say 4 more years. Is that right? Hold on, I'll do a quick search for you. Jordan Love contract. You can use that song with my permission. There we go. Let me see what we got. So 1, 2, 3 more years after he's heading into what year? The 2026. So he'll be 28. Yeah. So actually, well, 3 with a void year. So you got to suspect they'll probably play out these next 2 years and then re-sign him to an extension after a couple seasons would be my guess. Eric says, policy has a ton of work to do. I don't know. I don't know if he has a ton of work to do. He has some specific areas that he's got to, you know, make sure that they're not falling behind in. But I don't know that he has a ton of work to do. Like I said, the workout stuff's already being worked on, right? Much like they did the locker room remodel, facelift, etc. just last year. And that provided instant results on the NFLPA grading. So it feels like he's got his finger on the pulse, but there's no doubt. Work to be done, but I don't know. A ton of work feels like a bit of a, I don't know, a pumped up drama way of saying it. Let me see. Rich, good question, man. During the draft process, how soon does the scouting department decide they like a certain player for their board? Could it be as early as the college season, or could it be even as close to as the draft? this week goes a long way in answering questions they might have regarding medical stuff. Obviously, getting in front of the player and talking to him for the 15 minutes that they do adds a piece to that puzzle. The scouts know these guys inside and out. The area scouts, the guys who've been on the road all year, they know every single one of these players like the back of their hand. The draft meetings that the Packers have every year where the scouts all come and get into a central location back at Lambeau, that happens the week before the combine. They have just wrapped those up when Brian came down to the combine along with the personnel folks. So Brian and, you know, Milt and all the kind of the top echelon of the personnel group, they're starting to form those opinions. Whereas the guys who write the reports and have looked at the players, they, you know, have given them all the information and what they think about all these players. But the true kind of brain trust that will be putting together the board, that's happening essentially throughout this next kind of couple weeks. It's hard to pinpoint, you know, an exact moment that will happen, but this is, you know, the time where they're collecting as much information as they possibly can. And it's why for the teams, the combine is so valuable, because you have a centralized location where all the medical happens, right? For the vast majority of players, though, in this day and age, a lot more is happening at pro days as well, which creates more time that you have to wait to get that information, but the tape is still there. And that's mostly what you're working off of. And that's a long-winded way of answering that question, but there's not exactly a date that you can pinpoint. Well, that's a really good question, Rai. Was there a defensive scheme Holmgren struggled against like LaFleur does versus cover two? I mean, it's funny because there's no doubt that McCarthy struggled the same way LaFleur does. And it's not so much that, you know, it's cover two that is a problem. It's, you know, the ability to stick in your too high shell because the Packers can't run the ball. And that's the same thing that happened with McCarthy. As far as Holmgren goes, I mean, that the blitzing of the Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl was certainly an issue, although they had been very good against the blitz throughout Holmgren's time with Favre at the quarterback spot. But I don't recall ever noticing or, you know, reading anything about specific schemes giving Holmgren trouble. But I think there were certain coaches who seemed to get after him pretty good. Those teams in Dallas certainly gave him tons of trouble, but they were insanely talented, and that certainly helped in that regard. Kyle, Tampa 2, that's a good, that's probably the closest. But again, even then, what was the problem? That they couldn't run the ball, and the Tampa 2, that was mostly the Bucs, right? They could just sit back there and send Simeon Rice and Warren Sapp, and they only ever had to rush four, which meant they could play everybody else in coverage. You're running the West Coast offense. That's tough. That's a tough world to live in. See, it's so funny how football is so cyclical, right? Like, most of the issues teams have offensively comes down to we can't run the ball. So teams can just play coverage, keep those two high safeties, or even a cover three look if they want, whatever their preference is. But it comes down to, oh, you can't run the ball? Good luck. Now, obviously, that's a very oversimplified version or way of looking at it, but it's a theme, right? No question about that. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. As I said at the top, reminder, I am traveling tomorrow, so no Packers Daily. I'll be back on Monday. Enjoy watching the Underwear Olympics. It's going to be a good time. Till then, thanks so much. Go Pack, go.